My name is Andrew Cutchins, and I'm director and senior fellow in the Russia and Eurasia program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington, D.C. And I'm joined today here at CSIS by my colleague and friend, Ed Chow, who's a senior fellow in the Energy and National Security program here at CSIS. And the topic of our discussion for this podcast is Russia and energy, Russian energy security. Ed, we've talked about this many, many times in the past, and I was wondering if you could talk about what you see as the management challenges for Russia with its energy resources, which have been key to its recovery of economic power in the last decade.
Thank you, Andy. I guess the way I see it is that the energy landscape looks quite differently from Moscow's point of view today than it did a year ago, when oil prices were very high, and they have, of course, dropped by quite a bit since then. And it reminds everyone something that we should never have forgotten, which is that this is a cyclical business, sometimes highly volatile, and that the risks that one is willing to tolerate at a time of rising prices may not be the same as when prices are flattening or, worse still, declining, which is what we've seen in the last 12 months. And I see the Russian leadership struggling a bit in trying to navigate what a new policy pathway might be as compared to the way they view things, may have viewed things a year ago. For example, the Russian oil and gas revenue increases the past 8-9 years have been driven largely by price increases rather than volume growth. And if you look at what President Medvedev has been saying in the last few weeks, Prime Minister Putin, as well as Russian ministers have been saying, I think this is a interesting time of reflection and recalibration for Russia of what their future energy policy should look like.
Ed, the Russians have been essentially living off the investments made in the Soviet period in Western Siberian oil and gas fields, and we've seen those production levels stagnate or drop in recent years. I mean, have the Russians made adequate investments in new green fields to compensate for the ongoing and anticipated further decreases in production from what exists?
Well, the simple answer is no. The simple answer is that they've been happy with the revenue that was being generated as long as oil prices were going up. And Russia is really not alone in facing this kind of challenge. One could make similar comments about Iran or Nigeria or Mexico or Venezuela, for example. The danger and the risk that I mentioned is that this is such a capital-intensive, long lead time business. What is really important is to keep investment flows going. I often compare investment quite similar to invention for the pharmaceutical business. It is the lifeblood of the business. You have to keep investing in long lead time projects. Otherwise, you're not going to have any products at the end of the pipe 5-10 years from now to sell. What is particular about Russia's situation is that the greenfield projects are in very high-risk areas, very technically challenging areas, such as far offshore Barents Sea, which is where the Shtokman gas field is located that we've heard so much about, the Yamal Peninsula, East Siberia. So you have to get these things going at a sustained level early, and this is the challenge today is the how to get back into a high investment path.
It doesn't sound like there are any Club Meds in any of those places that you mentioned, Ed. Let's focus a little bit on Europe, since this question of energy security has been a very controversial one in the past few years, particularly with the two gas crises and with Russia and Ukraine in 2006 and again 2009. Much of the focus in the discussion has been about Russia's supposed use of energy as a political weapon. Former Secretary of State accused Mr. Putin of that several years ago. But I've wondered, is that the main problem, or is the main problem in energy security concern about whether the investment is actually made to ensure that there will be energy flowing?
Well, I think the concern from an industry point of view is that the Russians are interested in controlling transit, in controlling distribution, precisely because they're not making the kind of investments necessary to increase supply. In other words, if you are a monopoly a player, maybe volume growth isn't what you're going after, but what you're going after is increasing the economic rent that can be generated from existing volume. And therefore, control is much more important than investment for production growth. I think that's the concern. That was the concern as prices are going up. I think this is a good time to take a pause for everyone to reflect on whether that's a sustainable policy or not, both for Russia's self-interest as well as Europe's and the transit countries, such as Ukraine, as well, and everyone's need, really, for a sustainable business climate that allow the right kinds of investments to go forward.
Well, in fact, and we'll close on this question, I understand that President Medvedev has made a proposal that some kind of energy pact be discussed and agreed upon, possibly as a replacement to the energy charter, which I think the Russians have recently announced that they are going to withdraw from. What kind of response has this proposal of Medvedev received, and what kind of response should it receive, do you think?
Well, I've been asking around a little bit, and both in Washington as well as in Europe, and as far as I can tell, there has been no substantive response to the Medvedev proposal that came out in April, actually. It seems to me that the G8 summit in Italy recently would have been a good occasion to have the major economic powers discuss it. When you have a proposal for international energy cooperation from what is, after all, the largest oil and gas producer in the world, it strikes me that one should take it seriously, even if it's incomplete, even if it doesn't include all the type of provisions that from a consuming country point of view needs to be included. It is an opening that policymakers should boldly step into rather than seemingly least so far ignore. I think we have an opportunity here. As I understand it, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton will be visiting Russia soon as part of the effort of both President Obama and Medvedev to re-engage broadly on different issues. There will be an energy component of as part of that conversation. And I really hope that Western policymakers put a lot of thought in taking advantage of the opening that I believe that President Medvedev's proposal gives us.
Well, I think that our listeners should pay attention to how Ed studiously avoided the term reset in that last formulation. And with that, Ed, thank you very much for sharing your wisdom and illuminating some of these issues, and we look forward to revisiting some of these questions in the not-too-distant future.
My pleasure, Andy.